welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Would you pray with me before we open the Word? Let's just pray. Father, I know that I have a host of things, and I'm sure that we have a host of things going around in our heads and our hearts this morning. God, I know that there are many who would love to be here with us physically but can't. And so, Lord, we ask on their behalf that you would just make your presence known to them, that you would comfort them and bring them peace that only you can. God, we lift up those who are sick and those who are caring for those who are sick this morning. We pray that you give them strength, and that as they think about the arrival of Jesus here, God, that you would bring them joy in the midst of darkness. God, I pray for our time in your Word this morning. I pray that you would take a familiar passage, God, of the birth of your Son that we know, many of us know so well. God, I pray that you would bring it to our hearts and our minds fresh and new this morning. God, that you would renew our joy at the coming of your Son. You would renew our passion for the glory of your Son. And God, we just ask as a church that you would make us more like you. We ask on behalf of those who have yet to trust you, Lord, that you would work in their heart and draw their hearts to you this morning. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So we sing a lot this time of year, don't we? Radio stations completely change their genre, some of them for 2 whole months. Some people say humbug to that. And they play Christmas music nonstop. And we listen to it, we sing it. We gather on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, whatever day that the Sunday prior to Christmas happens, and we sing the same songs that we've sung for the past month once more about the same thing, the birth of Jesus. And so this morning, I want us to read the account of Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 2. So we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And I want us to read it kind of through the lens of the reason that we sing. We sing a lot. Even our culture that is rapidly changing around us sings this time of year about the birth of Jesus. And so we need to be very clear about the reasons we sing. And even as Christians who know the reasons that we sing and gather together, we need to be reminded of the joy that we have as we sing about the birth of Jesus. So are you ready to get in the Word this morning? I hope so. I'm glad and excited to get in the Word with you. We're going to read 2 different chunks this morning, verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to kind of break down those, and then we're going to read verses 8 through 21. So follow along with me in your copy of God's Word, beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now, as we pause here for a second before we read the rest of it, I want us to contemplate about the circumstances of exactly what's going on here. So far, we've seen the announcement of John the Baptist's birth. Then we see the announcement of Jesus' birth from the angel Gabriel, and their mothers, Elizabeth and Mary, gather together, and Elizabeth just, she blesses Mary and John, and the womb of Elizabeth leaps for joy because he knows he's in the presence of the Messiah, Jesus, even though he's still in the womb of his mother. Then we see Mary sing. And then we see John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, we see him in his birth. And we see his father praise God and prophesy in poetic fashion, praising God. And then we read on, if we were to continue reading these verses, verses 8 through 21, we would see once again the angels praising God. So even in Scripture, we see the theme of song and praise surrounding the birth of Jesus. So just mark it in your minds and hearts. That is something that when we take part in, we aren't doing alone. We are joining in with the chorus of history and all the earth and all of heaven singing the praises of Jesus surrounding his birth. We get to do that today and every other day of our year. Praise God. But we come to these first seven verses in chapter 2, and it seems like even more chaos in the life of Joseph and Mary. If we just zoom in on their lives, they have their whole lives ahead of them. An angel appears to Mary, says, "You're going to be with child." And she says, "But wait, I'm a virgin. How will this be?" And we're told that it's going to be a miracle of the Holy Spirit, that she's going to give birth to the Son of God as a virgin. And she has the joy of telling her fiancé that. And they have the joy of telling their families and their communities that, and guessing who's going to believe them and who won't. So already their life has been thrown into chaos, if you think about it. Their circumstances have not been easy. And what we find is the end of Mary's pregnancy in the first seven verses of chapter 2. And more chaos comes into the picture. Caesar Augustus, the Roman ruler at the time, who was viewed as a little g god, he was viewed as divine, called for a census to be taken, which meant that Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. So at the end of his fiancée's pregnancy, which has already been chaotic, he has to either choose to leave her or choose to take her along with him on an 85-mile journey, which to us isn't a big deal. To them, it was. It was on foot. And he has to take her to Bethlehem with him. And they arrive in Bethlehem. And as we might say, she's about to pop. And they can't find a place to stay. There is no room in the inn for them. So they find themselves in what amounts to a barn with nothing more than a feeding trough to lay the new baby in. And we say, this is, if we were in those shoes, those sandals, if you will, we would say, this is complete chaos. Life is living me. I am being tossed around nothing but bad circumstances here. What is going on? And even when we read these verses, we might at first glance think like they're just being tossed around by circumstances. Caesar Augustus is in control. But when we dive down into these verses, we find that anything but that is true. What we see when we dive down here is that God is sovereignly controlling the circumstances. Though chaotic, he is controlling every small detail to bring his son into the world in a specific place, in a specific fashion, to the glory of his name. And we see that if you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it to you in Micah 5:2. You can jot it down and go look at it later. Micah 5:2, literally hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God inspired a prophet, Micah, to speak these words about the town of Bethlehem. He says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient of days." So someone who is eternal is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Someone who is to rule over Israel is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. We know that Jesus, truly God, truly man, is the eternal one who was born in Bethlehem. And what we see is Caesar, who was viewed as a god, wasn't the one who was in control at all. God was using him to place Jesus where he was to be born, in Bethlehem. And so Caesar Augustus, seemingly in control, about as in control as a dad that says, "We're going to leave to go to the beach at 2 o'clock on Saturday." He just thinks he's in control. He's not leaving at 2. He's leaving when everybody's ready. Caesar appears to be in control. He's not. God is in control, and he is maneuvering Mary and Joseph to the exact spot that he said he would bring the Savior into the world, in Bethlehem. Not only that, but as Brother Gary mentioned earlier, the name of this little town in Hebrew is the House of Bread. And in John 6, we see Jesus refer to himself as none other than the bread of life. And so we see the bread of life come out of the town of Bethlehem. And it's all brought in to this specific time and place sovereignly by God. And I ask you a question before we move on. Have you ever felt like you were tossed about by your circumstances? Like life was living you instead of the other way around? Have you ever felt hungrier than this world can feed you? I just want to tell you this morning, looking at the scripture, we can see that God is sovereignly in control in the midst of chaotic circumstances here and the life of Mary and Joseph as they sought him to do his will. He was in control, and they could take comfort and have peace in the midst of chaotic circumstances because they knew that. And we can look at these verses and see that if we are more hungry than this world can feed us, if we are more thirsty than this world can quench, it only makes sense because Jesus is the bread of life. So at Christmas time, we sing. We sing regardless of our circumstances, right? We have good news of great joy regardless of our circumstances. Because God was faithful to fulfill the greatest promise he made to us throughout Scripture, that he would rescue his people from their sin, that he would bring someone into the world that would be the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. And that he did in a stable in Bethlehem. And so one of the reasons we sing today is because God is faithful. In the midst of chaotic circumstances, God is faithful. He is able and he is faithful. And so we sing today. And we sing with joy. And irregardless of what our circumstances, we can sing with joy because God is faithful to keep his word. He was and he is. Not only that, but we sing because Jesus came to us. So look at verses 8 through 21. Read those with me. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds were told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The angel said, "Good news of great joy, a Savior, the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah, has been born to you." So that the shepherds that they were speaking to, and catch the picture here, an angel appears, and then it says, a host of angels, literally an army of angels appears to these shepherds, praising God, glory in the highest. And tell them that to them a Savior has been born. And this is good news of great joy for all the people. For people of every tribe and tongue, this is good news of great joy that a Savior has been born. So the shepherds had reason to sing, to praise God, to glorify God, simply because Jesus had come to them. I want us to think about this for a second. This is quite an announcement, and it's not an unfamiliar announcement for the people then and there. This announcement of good news, great joy, that a Savior has been born. This is similar to what they would have heard when the son of a Caesar would have been born. It would have been news of great joy, good news of great joy. And they would have viewed this baby as he grew up as a God, and they would have viewed him perhaps even as a Savior, especially as a Lord. And so for the angels to enter into the presence of the shepherds and to say this is huge, because what they're saying isn't that a man is being born who will reign for a certain time and it will be good news for the people that he works on behalf of and for as long as he's around, but they're announcing the birth of the Son of God, who is truly God and truly man, who would one day go on to conquer death and reign eternally. And that is good news and great joy for all peoples that will place faith in him. It's as if Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and teenagers, you'll have to correct me if I'm not using this correctly. It's as if Luke is throwing shade on the Caesar. He's talking smack. He's talking in a way that one-ups the emperor. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. I don't know if I'm using it right, but I think that's the way. He is one-upping the emperor, the Caesar. He is saying, you think he reigns, but Jesus reigns. This little baby that is born in an animal's house, that is laid in an animal's feeding trough, he is the one who will reign eternally. He is the one who is sovereign over everything and everyone. And that is good news and great joy. And it's good news and great joy for us, because he didn't just come to the shepherds, he came to us. And you may say or think this today, or you may have thought this at one point in your life, Christian, and you may need to be reminded of this today. You may think to yourself that, well, I know I am not worthy of Jesus' coming to me. I know I am not worthy of being in God's presence, because I've made decisions that I can't even bear the thought of. I've made decisions that I'm completely ashamed of and I'm completely guilty of, that I can't bear the weight of. And so I know that God would not come to me. And I would say, yes, he did. And this scripture reveals that to us in several ways. First, we see that in verse 10, the angels tell the shepherds, this good news of great joy is for all the people. Second, we see it in the title of Jesus. He is called Savior and Christ, the one who would save, the one who would rescue. And we can just simply say this, those who are in need of rescuing don't have the ability to rescue themselves. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 5. He said, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I have not called to come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Out of Jesus' mouth, he says he came for the unworthy, undeserving sinner. From Jesus' title, we see that he came to rescue those who are entrenched in sin. Which, if each of us are honest, we all are or all were and are only not now because of Jesus. We also see it in the way that he came. We are talking, we are speaking and reading of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who could have come into this world any way he pleased or not at all. But the way he chose to come here to us reveals to us that he came to the sinner. God sovereignly, as we have already seen this morning, he sovereignly ordained these circumstances for a specific purpose. Jesus, the King of Kings, was born. Can you imagine, ladies, the nightmare? Men, can you imagine saying to your wife as she is giving birth, "It's okay, I got a barn we'll go to." No. The King of Kings was born in the stable of animals laid in a feeding trough. And it wasn't by accident. He came for the lowly. So the circumstances reveal to us that he came for the one that says, "I'm not worthy." And the people he came to, the shepherds, were at the bottom of the social ladder. They weren't the kings, they weren't the rulers, they weren't the rich, they were not the elite. They were the bottom of the social ladder. And the army of angels that sing Jesus' praises for eternity appeared to them to announce to them where Jesus would be born so that they could be present at the birth of the King of Kings, shepherds. So in the circumstances, in the title of Jesus, by Jesus' words, and by the people it was announced to, we see very clearly in this passage that Jesus came for the sinner, the lowly, the one who is not deserving, the one who says, "I can't even think of some of the decisions I've made in my life. I'm weighed down by the guilt I bear because of those decisions. I'm weighed down by the shame I carry because of those decisions." Jesus came for them and for us, for each of us. And that's good news of great joy. That is a reason to sing. And notice, he came not just for us, but he came to us. Now, in our world, in this, I'm making an assumption, but I assume this has always been the case. The average person has gone into the presence of the elite, into the presence of the rich, into the presence of royalty. That's the way it works. We go into their presence. We are invited into their presence. We pay to go into their presence, to their events. We are invited into their homes, not the other way around. They don't come to us. But look at the familiar story of Jesus' birth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the sovereign God, the Son, came to us. We didn't venture into his presence. He came into ours. And so today of all days, when we gather together the day before we celebrate his birth, we sing. And we sing loud. And we announce to the sinner who is yet to trust Jesus that he is worthy of your trust. He is the only one to save. And yes, he did come for you. And yes, he did come to you. Jesus' words one more time. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So believers, Christians, followers of Jesus, we are reminded of that glorious truth that Jesus came to us and we have been rescued because he came to us and we place faith in him by nothing we have done. We can sing with great joy. And to those of you who have yet to place faith in Jesus, he is worthy. He is worthy. And that good news is for you, and that great joy is available to you if you just trust Him. So we sing. We're going to close our service out singing. The choir stayed up here today because they're going to lead us in song as we close the service today. Maybe you're here and you've yet to trust Jesus, but you're contemplating trusting Him. I want to say I'm available to you. Others here, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one qualified. There are many. Every Christian in this room is qualified to pray with you, to walk you through Scripture, to show you what it means to trust and follow Jesus. And we want to do that with you. What better time to trust Him than now? Believers, Christians, church, like, we have the privilege to sing to Jesus today together, to lift our voices together. You won't be able to sing as loud tomorrow because you won't be with as many people. So sing loud today the praises of our King of Kings who came to us. However the Holy Spirit's leading you to respond, I want to encourage you to respond. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. God, we thank you that this didn't happen by accident. God, that you chose to do this before the foundation of earth. God, we thank you that you didn't call us to build a tower to heaven, to climb a ladder to heaven, to do good works to get to heaven, but you sent your Son into our presence to live the life we should have, to die the death we deserved, and then raise victoriously over death and sin on our behalf. God, we pray that you would give us fresh joy at the good news of Jesus' birth this morning. We pray that you would be high and lifted up, that you would be glorified just as you were when the angels sang to the shepherds of your glory. You would be glorified in the same way as we sing of your glory today. We pray that you would work in the life of the unbeliever, that you would draw their heart to you. You would break their heart over their sin and your righteousness, and they would trust you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cary. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccaro@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Reply, echo back the joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Yeah.
newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, O ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem.